You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Another episode of the Cooligans, baby!
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Let's go.
Come on.
Another exciting special episode. We got another sick guest.
Oh.
Okay.
Wipe them nose.
It's getting gnarly out here.
All right. Don't get us sick. That's how sick this guest is. But Bethany Balser, absolutely incredible.
Bethany Balser of OL Rain will be joining us in just a moment. We're excited, as always.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, your favorite stand-up comedians out here, year after year, just crushing it on the Cooligans. We appreciate you. So,
and who's that behind the cameras? That's Mike Malley.
Yes, sir. We out here.
Little Miguelito.
Okay.
I don't have to say little Miguelito because it's already in
Miguelito
the name.
Miguelito is
in the name.
Ito. That's like saying Miguelito Inyo. You're like, how small can he get?
Man, yeah, just tiny, bro. This is Ant-Man, I think.
I'm like Christian's child.
Yeah, dude.
So, Bethany Balser already, you know, had a, unfortunate, they didn't get the win in their first NWSL match, unfortunately.
1-0 loss, but we got a chance to speak to her before that. So she was in a much more chipper mood.
Exactly. That's what we got to get the Blairs before the games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be like, yo, what team you playing this weekend? Got them? Nah, we'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Because we need them in a good mood. We know this has been the strategy, especially when guests talk to us, comedians, it's always we have to be like, okay, this is not some regular post game or press conference or whatever where you can just, a journalist is just asking random questions about how you're training, how the team is doing. We want the chuckles. We want the yuck yucks.
Yeah. We need you to be in a good mood. So we need you pre-L, not post-L.
We cannot be getting people post-L.
No, we need you. We need you to be chilled. Speaking of chill, how I chill is a little Coors Light, baby.
That's right. That's the move, okay?
Because you know what, dude? I don't want to drink no cellar temperature beer. I don't want to drink no warm beer. If only mad scientists have got together and figured out a way to let me know on the can itself that it's cold and ready to go and nice and chill, then I'd know I can have a good time. Oh, my God. Coors Light did that.
Bro, I was just going to mention how, the crack science team over at Coors Light have figured this out. As soon as the beer is cold enough, you see the blue mountains right on the bottle itself, which informs you that the beer is cold enough to finally imbibe.
Right. Well, now I am informed, and thank you to the crack scientists over at Coors Light, because when I can't be on all the time, look, we do a lot. We're comedians. We do this show. We do a couple of shows, right? We change Christian's diaper to train him on what it's going to be like to be a dad. We're doing a lot.
Yeah, you practice on yourself, right?
Yeah,
that's how it works.
You let your boys practice changing your diaper. And okay, just so you can see what it feels like.
It takes a village.
You know what I mean? Yeah, don't judge our process. Would you rather we be absentee dads?
Is that what you're saying?
Wow.
Okay,
wow,
because according to a lot of politicians, that is currently the crisis in this country.
Maybe you need to chill. And by chilling, I mean go get yourself an ice cold Coors Light. Because for a second, I forgot we were in the middle of an ad. Coors Light, because it's ready to chill. When I need to chill, when Christian needs to chill, when we need to shut it off and kick our feet up a little bit, we one of these bad boys and we make sure that the little mountain is blue.
That's right, because Coors Light is as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right. Let's go. Now, let's get to our conversation with Bethany Balser of OL Rain.
All right, everybody. This is an honor. Christian and I have yet another guest. This is someone who we once ran upon in the streets. I believe it was downtown Orlando, if I'm not mistaken. Christian and I were walking.
We couldn't shut off the, like, I guess, fanboy, fangirling, whatever. It was just like, I think whenever you see a professional footballer in the street, you're just like, all right, I'm going to need to talk to this person, and I'm just going to hope it's not one of those instances where they say, man, these two crazy dudes ran up on me wanting an autograph.
There's also no way to be like, hey, we're not just regular fans. We're basically peers because we do a podcast, and then they stare at you and go, okay, cool, bye. But this was awesome. We walked by this guest, and we're like, oh my god. And I'm like, hey, she plays for, wait, what? And I'm like, what's her name again? And he's like, is that Bethany Balser? I'm like, Bethany Balser! And she was just like, please, god, can I just finish what I'm doing? But ladies and gentlemen, forward for your Orlando Reign, Bethany Balser, everybody!
Alexis, switch up. Orlando Reign, OL Reign.
Sorry, Orlando's where we saw you. OL Reign, yes. Cascadia. OL Reign, everybody.
What an intro.
You know what I meant. Everybody knows what I meant. If there's one place that's going to have a head injury, it's on this show.
Okay. Yes. Alexis's schedule is very different now. Yeah. He's waking up very early. So that's the only excuse.
The other day I said, looking, you see the sun through your eyelashes. And everyone was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you know what? It made sense to me. Bethany, my first question is this. No, I have a first question. What exactly is a wet burrito?
This is a question for me.
What's a wet burrito? Are you not from the Western Michigan area? Aren't you from, where are you from again? Hudsonville or something like that?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't eat wet burritos.
Okay, because it's a food that only exists near the Grand Rapids area. And I've never had one.
No. I definitely know what it is. I just think that, like, a soggy tortilla does not sound good to me. And that's what I think of when I think of a wet burrito. That it's just a burrito sitting in sauce. And that does not appeal to me.
Right? Doesn't that sound like a reason you go back to the front of a Chipotle and go, excuse me, there's something wrong with this burrito. It's wet.
Exactly. But it doesn't surprise me that that is a Midwest thing at all.
Okay, because I didn't know we were gonna start here, but we'll get into it. But burritos has been a sort of point of contention on our show because Alexis sort of makes fun of me for the way I eat burritos.
I didn't plan to do this, Bethany. But this is just a cone I have gifting. But this is how you eat a burrito, right? You go from the top, and then you put a little salsa, right? Christian held that bad boy like this, and he went to the middle.
Oh, goodness.
He harmonica'd it. So, and that became a big moment on our show, yes.
There's a reason why I did that, and the reason was because the burrito was falling apart because it was in a foil, and I removed the foil to eat the burrito, and the burrito started falling apart. I'm more familiar with a stronger sort of foundation of a tortilla so it doesn't just break apart. So when it started breaking apart, I'm like, I need to save this burrito because rice is falling out. So I took a small bite from the center of it for a brief moment.
Bethany, that's really the explanation. What's going through your brain? The fact that we've been on for about 5 minutes and it's all been burrito talk.
Well, that just... I'm lost. But that sounds like psychotic behavior by Christian.
Thank you! Thank you, Bethany.
Okay, which is fine. It's just, look, I had a problem and I was trying to solve it. Okay, so look, given that we have already started with this burrito talk, because I was planning on talking about this later, but we might as well get into it. One of the most memorable moments in, I think, NWSL history, whether, you know, positive or negative, it's become just almost folklore at this point, was when you won your Rookie of the Year award, you were gifted a $50 Chipotle gift card. And it's been a thing that you've reminded
people.
That's
a lot of wet burritos.
It's a thing. So we can, we've spoken about it ad nauseum on the show, and I guess we can just ask you, you know, what did you think when you got the gift card, and then also what did you get when you went to Chipotle to use the gift card?
Well, fun fact, I think there's still money on that gift card because it's just been sitting, just sitting around. I don't even know where it is, but well, obviously, I was not expecting to get Rookie of the Year my rookie year, so it was actually the NWSL PA that sent me that gift card, and like I said, I wasn't expecting to get it, so I was like, oh, cool, like, free food. I'm always up for free food, and obviously now, Rookie of the Year gets way more, but in the moment, I was just a little naive rookie, happy to get something for free, and I probably got a burrito. I'm a much more burrito bowl girl now. I like the bowls a lot better. I like dipping my chips in it. So that's probably what I got. And it got me like four of them, which was great. So I got lunch for a few days, which I loved.
That's beautiful.
Amazing. Okay. I love how Alexa said, same after you called yourself a burrito bowl girl.
I'm a burrito bowl girl. I want everyone to know that. I also like dipping my chips in it, you know? One of the things that I love, or the reason why we bring you up on our show so often, was you sort of pulled the curtain back a little bit on what it's like to be a player, and really spoke about sort of just some of the hills and valleys of it. What made you want to sort of do that? And, you know, did you receive blowback? Have other players been like, yo, thank you for speaking out? Or what was the course? What led you to that? And what's happened since?
Yeah, it was never, I never expected it to get the reaction that it did. I think I was just coming from a place of wanting to explain myself and explain what I'm feeling. I feel like I'm a naturally open, vulnerable person. And so just sharing my experience came naturally to me. But then when I saw the response, I was like, wow, this is like a very taboo topic, and this is something that needs to be talked about more. And I think I did receive a lot of encouragement from it and realized that it's something that a lot of people don't always know the words to find for their situation. And so just having more people in my position speaking out about it, I think helps give voice to what they're experiencing. And that was something that I still take pride in to this day and want to be vulnerable for those people in those moments.
Yeah, it's a thing that I much appreciate, especially coming from professional athletes. There's people, it definitely happens more in the women's game. You know, I always mention players like Chicharito, who is a person who shows vulnerability publicly, kind of calls out bad behavior and things like that, as in his community, in his sport, and things like that. But I'm curious about from when you were Rookie of the Year your first year and won your Chipotle gift card to now, as far as like maturing as a player, maturing sort of with this league, how have you felt that you've developed as a player and a person in that time, in a time when even NWSL is changing a lot, you know, for positively, negatively, things are coming to light. How have you sort of developed in that time?
Yeah, I feel like with time in this league, it's natural to gain confidence. And I think that is kind of my story throughout the league. Like I said, being Rookie of the Year, coming from a small school, that was just so out of the realm of possibility for me. And so I think my second year, I felt a lot of pressure to perform again at that level. And I didn't want to be, you know, like a one-hit wonder and then just like fall off the face of the map. And so that second year was the hardest for me because I felt like I had to uphold this incredible rookie season that I had. And as a second year player, that was like a really big weight to carry. And so I just think over the years, I've kind of chopped that down and have just settled more into my role on a team, into the talents that I have. I think I've just been able to grow as a person because I don't have that in my shadow anymore. I feel like I've shown who I am. I've shown that I belong, because I think that was a really big thing, was belonging in the league. And so it's fun now to like have that pressure released from me, where I can just go on the field and perform and do what I love. And obviously there will always be pressure. There will always be those things that I'm fighting, but I think I'm in a much more confident state of mind that is allowing me to have fun with what I'm doing and to continue to grow as a person.
Yeah, it's, I was going to say, you, one of the things that, that I think is so endearing is that, you know, you are sort of saying like, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I get. Here's what I don't get. Here's what I'm about. But then when you see you on the field, you're like, I'm a bucket. I'm going to go out and get that. You know what I mean? And it's, is that something that, you know, I very, especially with players, you find like there's a, sometimes that on the pitch sort of character carries over. Sometimes it's like a go mode. What is it for you? Is there something that switches on when you're on the field?
I like to think I'm the same on and off the field, strangely.
You think you're this nice on the field?
Yeah, I'm a nice girl. Yeah. Okay, when you put it like that, maybe I have a little bad side to me. I just think like I'm always competitive. So I'm competitive in everything off the field, which can be dangerous at times. But like every training session, I'm so competitive. So when I'm on the field, like in that sense, nothing changes. And like, I want to win at everything in life. Like I hate losing so much. And so that aspect is definitely like seen on the field. But yeah, in terms of like the aggression, the temperament with which I'm playing, I definitely think, also with like who's on the team with me, like that we all just like bring it out of each other. And I think that's why like we're successful and scary, hopefully.
Yeah. One of the other things I love also is your Twitter account. You are a person who is very sincere, honest, really. But not only that, you talk about just general things about just the growth of NWSL, just the growth of women's sports. You participate in the debate. Yeah, in the conversation, I think one of the things, and I don't remember if you've spoken on this specifically, but I have heard an interesting debate about NWSL and the way people cover it, that people sort of want to be able to be almost like mean about it or critical in a way that they are critical of men's sports, where they're like that some people feel that this is the way for the league to grow, to almost introduce some toxicity about the criticism of the actual play or the players in a way that is not drowning in misogyny and stuff like that, where it's just like be mean about the sport but not the people playing it. You know what I mean? So as far as the, when it comes to mentioning kind of like aggression or OL Reign had a very controversial loss in the playoffs and things like that. And people were very frustrated with the refereeing and things like that. But what do you think of that sort of talking point of like, maybe the league to grow, we need to like be a little bit meaner about it?
Yeah, it's definitely a balance and you're always riding the line because you don't want to be like super ungrateful and you don't want to make it seem like you hate what you're doing, but there also is this call to action of like there's a standard that we're not meeting and like everyone needs to know that, everyone needs to understand that, and like we're putting our foot down as players and not allowing anything less than that. And I think that's always the mindset when I am writing a tweet or when something does happen, it's like how can I convey this message so that like, okay, I get it, you know, ref made a mistake, he's human, but also like the standard in this league just has to be better. So how can we get refs who are qualified, you know, to like in that situation to like do their job? And so, it's this fine line that I feel like I'm always balancing because I don't want to say anything that I regret. Obviously nobody does. Yeah. I don't want to use Twitter as just like this venting platform, but like also like it's a platform for a reason and people are going to hear your voice. So like use it well and speak so that change can occur.
I got an idea. You got to be like, hey, yo, ref, you're being a real wet burrito right now. And there's really no way to tell if what you're saying is good or bad. It leaves it up to, you know.
Like, you know, it leaves the ref at home that night thinking, like, wet burrito. Yeah. I Google it and nothing bad actually comes up. I'm not exactly sure if I was insulted.
She's from there, too. Like, I don't get it. You know, the guy's just like... Speaking of controversial, VAR this year. You excited? Are you, you know, you're going to pull up behind the ref and be like, what are we looking at? Did you click on the web burrito .exe, you know? Are you excited for, you know, the extra layer of, I guess, review?
I am. There's also, like, hesitancy with it.
Of course.
I'm just afraid. You know, like VAR, sometimes it doesn't always get it right still, you know? But I am grateful for that extra layer of protection for the players and for the right calls to be made. I hope that pride doesn't get in the way. And we actually, in preseason, we had like a meeting with a VAR like coach who helps referees get their VAR certification. And we were able to go through calls, ask questions. So that was very helpful. I'm definitely hopeful of how it will change the game for the positive this year. I just wish we had it last year so I could we could get to the Challenge Cup final, you know?
Yeah, you're like, give me a little sign over here. You know?
That would have been nice.
Retroactive.
Can we go back? Does this thing go back? You got game tape we can watch? Can we throw some asterisks on here? I'm excited to hear what you think, you know, from going from what we spoke about when we began the interview with, you know, the gift card and where NWSL was, to how quickly it's changed. And, you know, you've got players that are now being, you know, transferred for big money, and you've got larger contracts, and you've got new teams. You know, part of you must be like, whoa, this is exciting. And the other part of you must be like, can we retro somebody's rookie of the year gifts? You know, can I get like $100? It's a sweet green, you know?
Exactly. Fix some of our past errors. Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of VAR, we need one for rookie of the year gifts. Can we review the tape? You know, you must be excited by some of the big positive changes that are coming.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I think about that all the time. But then I also think of everybody who's come before me who didn't even get the gift card. So you know, right. But no, the growth is super exciting, and that's something I think we should celebrate. And also, you know, tweet about just as much as the $50 gift card. So it's definitely promising with all of the investment that's happening, all the exposure that we're getting. We're in FIFA now. Like, there's so many good things happening that we're excited about. And again, like, we want to be the standard for a women's league in the world. And I think these steps are helping us get there.
Was gonna ask, yeah.
Yeah, I believe earlier today or yesterday was when NWSL was introduced in FIFA. I was just playing as you, and I was impressed. I mean, as far as especially the players themselves, I mean, are unbelievably accurate. Just the attention to detail, and you even have your head guard thing, and it was just it's long overdue. But even for you, seeing yourself in the game. I don't know if you've gotten the chance to play as yourself yet, but what did you think so far?
Oh, yeah, I texted my brother. I said, go home and play FIFA right now. Tell me what I look like. Am I fast? Like, put me in career mode and get me to the top. So he showed me. He got me a hat trick against Portland. No big deal.
Let's go.
But no.
Okay. Incoming in real life as well.
Yes, facts. But no, it was cool to see. And I'm like, oh, my word, I'm in a video game. Like, that's crazy to me. And I thought I looked like myself, so I was like happy, because not everybody looks great, but no, it's super cool, super exciting, and I'm telling every person I know to go and play as me, so that's fun.
That's so dope.
Of course. And now the rain will be facing the Washington Spirit this weekend in your opening match away over in DC. What's exciting about this particular season? I'm gonna imagine that given the way last season ended, there's more of a seething fire that is burning inside every OL Reign player. But what are you looking forward to this season?
Looking forward to right the wrongs. I mean, every year that I've been with the Reign, we've lost in the semifinals. So that's always a sour taste in the mouth. But I'm definitely excited because this year we have retained so much of our team. The majority of players came back. And, I mean, we won the Shield last year. So now we just get to build off what we were rebuilding last year. And I think that's a really exciting fact. And we get to just create more relationships on the field and be, I think, just as dangerous as ever because of the people that we've kept and how that can be seen on the field.
All right. And yeah, I'm curious about, obviously there's a lot of superstars on your team. Obviously players like Rose Lavelle and also Megan Rapinoe. But I think we're getting to a point where we don't know, you know, how much longer Megan Rapinoe will be playing. But, you know, we've interviewed Megan Rapinoe. Obviously, I think we know her as bigger than just a footballer, right? She is an absolute rock star, superstar. And there's people who don't even follow the sport that know her. But playing alongside Megan Rapinoe, I haven't really asked many people this question, but you know, playing with her on a club team, especially, what's the day in, day out of just working alongside a legend like that?
She is just as cool on the field as she is off the field. Like, she's so much fun to be around. Like, she is the locker room vibe that you want every day. Your hype woman, always cracking jokes, like, she's just so fun to be around. And so it's super fun to learn from her. I feel like I've been learning from her every single year that I've been here. And so just to be able to absorb as much as I can from her, not only with on the field stuff, but about the team culture, what you want the locker room to look like. And then even with who she is as a person and how she stands up for things and how she's just she is so vocal. And I feel like I've gotten part of that from her because she doesn't take any crap, you know? And so that's been... Yeah, no. And so I just absolutely love that about her, and that's something that I want to emulate that she does so well. And just trying to absorb as much as I can before she goes on to the next stage of her life.
Yeah, this is a podcast too. You could say she don't take shit from nobody. You could say that because you kind of know it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can say it. Don't hold yourself back.
No, we did a live event in Charlotte with Megan, and I mean there were probably, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 people that are so excited to see her. There were children giving us like artwork. They're like, "Can you give this to Megan, please?" I'm like, "I don't even know if she's gonna make eye contact with me, let alone."
I gave the kid a piece of artwork. I'm like, "Could you give this to Megan Rapinoe? We don't even know if we're gonna get to meet her for real." Yeah, you might have it in her contract. We have to stay away from her. You know, make no eye contact with me. I'm a legend. I do want to ask. I don't know if you know. MLS just announced their all-star opponent, and it's going to be the greatest team on earth, Arsenal. I'm sure you agree, being a Tottenham fan. I do want to ask about All-Stars because I think this got to be the next step for NWSL, an All-Star game. Wouldn't that be dope? Wouldn't you love to be a part of something like that?
Yes. And like our team's talked about this before. Like, put the best 11 versus the second best 11 and let them play. I think that would be so fun. It would draw a lot of attention. You got the best of the best on the field. That's definitely something that, if it's not already in the works, it should be in the works at Commissioner.
There you go.
Okay. Well, I'm also curious about the the growth of women's soccer and club soccer in particular. I think it's grown a lot. You see it in Europe as well, especially the last, I don't know, maybe about decade. Alexis mentioned like larger transfer fees. Like now, you know, there's moments where, like, Fabrizio Romano is tweeting about a women's transfer and things where you're like, whoa, okay, this is like, at first you're like not used to seeing stuff like that. But realistically, at some point, you know, for maybe in its first like 5 years, everyone sort of understood NWSL is the highest quality women's league in the world. Do people still – is that the competition kind of there? Because the Women's Super League, obviously in France and Spain, you're seeing really,
Women's
really
Champions
strong
– too.
Women's Champions, you're seeing strong teams. Is there a bit of a concern that they're catching up? Or is it like, if we – I mean, and we've seen a lot of friendlies where NWSL teams, you know, can win pretty well against these teams. But what are those conversations like in the locker room with other players, with executives about those growing
leagues?
Yeah,
I don't think there's concern at all. It's just excitement because obviously we've seen like the U.S. is getting good competition in international games now. And I think it's just because every other league, every other federation is really stepping up their game. And that's exciting for the sport as a whole. So the more competitive women's league we have is great. What I do think is so unique to the NWSL is the bottom team can beat the top team on any given day. And I feel like there's definitely more separation within those other leagues. And so that's what I think is so unique to the NWSL and what makes us so great is you could turn on a game and you have no idea who's going to win. It could be anybody. And that's what makes it so competitive and so challenging. Obviously I miss winning games 10-0 sometimes, but like, it's so good to have like good competition.
Yeah,
like damn, man, y'all drafting a little too well nowadays. You need to slow it down.
Oh well, needs to stop making it rain, bro. There's too many goals, bro. what is it that you're looking forward to as you move on? I mean, you continue to finish the season strong with great amount of goals. Obviously, rookie of the year. What is the hope for you? Do you plan on ever playing maybe in Europe? Do you want to give that a shot? Do you want to just continue to grow within NWSL?
I'm definitely open to anything. I think right now I'm very happy with where I am within the rain, within my growth. But I, like I said, I'm definitely open to wherever I have to go in order to get to where I want to be. Obviously would love more call-ups to the national team. And so that's kind of the goal. And then let's figure out the steps to get there. What do I need to do to get seen, to get the exposure and to grow as a player to reach that goal? So I'm open to whatever, but I love the rain. I love the team here. I love the NWSL and I'm excited to see what we can build this year.
Arsenal women's come calling. Can you put on that kit? Do you think you could put that kit on?
No. No.
You're really going to tell the agent no?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I respect you appreciate the loyalty. No, you have no idea.
Could you imagine what would happen?
We have a couple.
Like my...
Imagine you won with Arsenal and you had to lift the trophy with Arsenal. You helped Arsenal put another trophy in the trophy cabinet.
No, I'd be in the back of the photo. I literally went and saw Kim Little play at Arsenal and I was like trying not to boo the whole time and just be disgusted because I'm like, I love Kim. I love like the girls, but like this stadium, I hate it. Like, why am I here?
Love it. Well, so we got a couple of questions from Gully Squad, which is our supporters group. Okay. And we had a question from Dennis Higgins. He asked the question, how much talking about Europe a little bit. He says, how much does Lyon factor in the day-to-day life at the Rain? Are you guys left to do your own thing or is there some kind of overarching vision for the club?
I think we're definitely our own like autonomous organization. I definitely think higher up, we like have a liaison here at the Rain that kind of goes back and forth between Lyon and us. And I think we like the relationship we're building with them. They're obviously investing in us, which is great. And I mean, we've got some of their players here. I've personally gone over there and played. So I think that relationship is cool, but we definitely still like operate kind of on our own terms. I think both clubs obviously have the same vision to be the best in the world. And so that's something that unites us. But I do like the fact that we can still be the Rain, like our own self.
This is a question from Ben. Yeah, he wants to know, what is the best away environment currently to play at in the NWSL? Which is a great question. I would say, what's the most fun and what's the most intimidating?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, so I actually haven't played in LA yet because I got mono last year, RIP. But I've heard that environment is like absolutely insane. So I'm looking forward to playing there the most this year. I also think it's crazy the numbers San Diego's putting up as a first. Well, now they're a second year team. Like they've already sold out, I think, their home opener. So like that environment and their new stadium is going to be sick. I think the most intimidating is always Portland just because the rivalry. I mean, we just played them last week in a preseason game and it was still as electric as a regular season game. And so I think just the rivalry there increases the, well, I'm not intimidated, obviously. because we're better. But it's definitely fun to be in.
Is there a in that rivalry? Is there a I think we have this conception that you know, in women's soccer, that it's a, for whatever reason, it's just a little nicer, or the rivalry is not as intense. Is there it happens where people just have the, you know, you don't see the fist fights that you might see in other matches, but I imagine it's still you know, there's still some jabs, maybe emotional jabs thrown from time to time.
You get any emotional bruises during the match?
You know, what does that rivalry mean to you, and you know, and how, you know, obviously you want to win for the fans, but as a player, those, when you see those matches on the calendar, what goes through your mind?
Yeah, it's not even just a rivalry because of location. I think it's because we are the two of the best teams in the league, and so like just the quality of players that both of our teams possess creates that insane environment. And I think every time we play Portland, it's like, throw all tactics out the window. This is going to be a bloodbath. Like, we're going to war. Like, nobody wants to come out of that game losing. I remember last year at home, we were down like 2-1 in the 80th minute. I'm like, we're not losing. Like, to this team, like, I physically, my body would not, my mind, like, I don't even want to know what that would feel like. Like, we have to put the nail in the coffin here. So I just think there's such a intensity to those games, and it's because it's two of the best teams in the league, if not the world, that possess like the best national team players and things like that.
Okay, I have a. This is an either or. I feel like you already know where I'm going with this. You have your agent calls you and says you have three options. Three. So the first one, you got to go to Arsenal women. Two, Portland Thorns. Or three, you have to legally change your name to Weperito. Now think about it, okay?
Weperito. Weperito.
Wow. Weperito Balser is not that bad.
Have you met Miss Weperito, bro? She is good.
Only if Weperito can be the last name on my jersey, too.
Yeah, it's like the new Ocho Cinco. Yeah. I gave you an out and you took it. I gave you an out and you took it. That's on me.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
That's on me.
Bethany, this has been incredible. I honestly wish you all the best in the upcoming season. Obviously, this Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern time, Oral Reign will be taking on Washington Spirit. I believe this will be on Paramount Plus, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I didn't do all my homework. It's all good. But I hope this was a more fun. I don't remember if we spoke about this before we started actually recording the interview, but we have met before.
We did. We talked about it.
And when we met, we did meet. Okay, I met in Orlando. I hope this was a more pleasant experience because we only spoke for a moment. It was one of those. I remember vividly, like, this. I don't feel comfortable saying hello, but I who knows if we'll ever get another opportunity. And I'm glad we did. And then Alexis made fun of you about Tottenham and the whole thing. And now we've wrapped it all up into a nice bow. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Told
for joining
you we really
us.
Had a podcast. We're not just two weirdos in the street.
The way you described it at the beginning, I'm like, all those thoughts probably went through my head when we met. I'm like, who are 100%. These guys?
There's no way to explain it where we don't look weirder than if we just said hello. There really isn't.
Bethany, thank you so much for joining us again. Best of luck this season. Yeah. Seriously, we're
you're the best.
Fans.
Appreciate it.
Another incredible interview. We are so good at this.
so is Bethany Balser.
Yeah, she was great as well.
Shout out to Bethany. Thank you so much for joining us. That was really, really dope. You know,
Orlando Reign. I'm an idiot.
Okay. Look, that's if you come to the show for professionalism, you're in the wrong place.
Ew.
Don't be using that word around me.
Ew, that's offensive in Blangola, bro.
But no, Bethany Balser, obviously, wishing her the best of luck this season in NWSL.
She's gonna kill it. She's great. Kill it.
Yeah. Go follow. I do know now. She had posted on Twitter that she I think is taking a break from Twitter. throughout the season. She's going full LeBron mode okay. for the playoffs. 30.
Yeah, nice.
So she
deserves it. She's given us a lot.
Yeah. So
on
she,
social
she,
media.
She basically said that she's not gonna be like interacting with trolls. She'll post, hopefully, the interview
yeah,
that we
yeah.
just did.
Don't take that much of a break.
We don't need to do all that.
Post this here interview.
But she said that she's essentially going to take a break from like being, having debates and stuff on.
Good. On go there. Play. Go play ball. Exactly. You don't need all that.
Okay.
And also, if you need to chill, open up a Coors Light. You know what I mean? You don't need to open up Twitter.
I mean, not during the season. Maybe no. when you're winning
well,
the
no,
trophy.
You're allowed to drink during the season, just not during a game. You know what I mean?
We have a couple rules. So shout out to Bethany Balsa. Go follow her. Boats. We forgot to mention her nickname is Boats on the Instagram. Yeah. But go follow her on Instagram. Follow her on Twitter as well. Because when her Twitter's active, it's quite lit. So, you know.
Get in there and wait. Wait for her to get back and start trolling the trolls.
Dude. Troll us, Bethany. You're allowed. You can troll us.
Troll us. Here's some. We changed Christian's diaper. There. Use that. Troll us.
So pretty good. Solid tweet. If you're going to come up with something around that. So thank you again. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans everywhere. You use social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans for a lot more exclusive content.
Bro, hit all the buttons. Hit the subscribe button, bro.
That's right. And we'll be back next week. With a bunch of more shows.
That's right. Where Christian's having another baby, dude.
I will not be back yet. But there will be guest hosts throughout my
That's
paternity
right.
leave.
Christian hired babysitters for me.
Okay. Alexa's gonna be wearing a bib.
I'll be like, change my diaper. You really about this babysitter life.
Okay, earn your money.
That's right. And I pooped, dude. A lot.
And I'm wearing the wrong size diaper.
By diaper, I mean thong. So get in there. It looks like two boobs because it's split it right down the middle.
Anyway, didn't expect it to get that gross that fast. But that's what happens sometimes. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Some more fun shows. We got a bunch of guest hosts lined up. And we will see you then. Peace, everybody.